This morning, I sense an urgency deep inside that we've got to take active and proactive steps to become stronger than what we are. I don't care how strong you are in faith and walking with the Lord and in ministry, we can all get stronger. We all have weak places. We understand that just even from a natural standpoint. You know, you can do upper body strength and weightlifting. You can do, you know, leg curls. You can do all that. And then you can do, you know, running, that kind of thing to build up your endurance. Those are all good. But whenever it comes to becoming strong spiritually and being able to sustain ourselves, that's something that most of us never really give thought to and much less put a lot of time in to practice. So this morning, I want to talk to you about steps, and it truly is steps. And how many of you know you typically don't get really to where you want to be in just one step? It takes steps. It took steps to get into this building today. But the main arena for exercise to become strong, it's not the only one, but I believe it's the main arena to become, for exercise to become strong, is prayer. Now, the banner of prayer, underneath prayer, also includes praise and worship. Those are all parts of prayer. But the reason why prayer, praise and worship, is an exercise, if for no other reason, first of all, it starts with you and me in that our flesh does not give place for this easily. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, amen, or groan, or do anything of the sort. I just want to point out to you that we're going to look at a verse here in a little bit that talks about how that our flesh can affect us, even how we function in ministry. And spiritual discipline, spiritual exercise is not something that is at the top of most of our list and our to-do list. Usually, when we think of prayer, oh, okay, we keep putting it off until we are physically exhausted. And then we complain to the Lord that we're too tired to pray. What we need to do is become strong, exercise. You know, again, we've talked about how there are some people, they've been taught to pray something like this. You know, if somebody needs healing, God, heal them if it be thy will. Not my will, not our will, but your will be done in this person. And after which my experience in being around that kind of thinking for some years is that people will pray that and think they've done their duty, and then they just simply go about life waiting to see what happens, concluding that whatever happens, that outcome must be the will of God. Because we prayed, Lord, your will be done, whether they live, whether they die, whether, you know, this happens, that happens. And so they just stand back and watch. But the problem with this, I mean, there are a multitude of problems with this, a lot. But one of the biggest problems is they never really engage the enemy in fight. Just, God, here, you do whatever. You fight the enemy for them. You do whatever. Ignoring so many, I mean, what is Ephesians chapter 6, 10 and following to the end? What's that all about? Why have we been given armor? Why have we been given weapons if we're not to use them? Just ask him. And therefore, because they never really engage the enemy, they never really become strong. Now, as we begin, I'm going to show you how weakness becomes a practical part of our lives in this area, and then we'll start the exercising. But, you know, the reality is, instead of praying, Lord, if it be your will, we're supposed to find out and know the will of God. We do this first by going to his word. You see, our understanding of God's will must conform to his written word. So look at it with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, be very careful then. Be careful. He's warning us about something here. Pay attention. How you live, not as unwise, but as wise. How do we live as wise? Making the most of every opportunity. Wise people make the most of their opportunities. unwise or foolish people do not. He says, because the days are evil. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, the next verse, therefore, don't be foolish. You can live your life as a believer in a very foolish way. He says, but rather, understand what the Lord's will is. It's not enough in those situations to pray, Lord, well, if it be your will, heal them, help them, give them what they need, whatever. If it be your will. You're supposed to find out the will of God. Because otherwise, you're not being wise in your praying. You're not contending with the enemy in their behalf. Because we do have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Do we need to go to 1 Peter and read this? 1 Peter chapter 5, okay? Just write it down in your notes. You can look it up later. You see, I believe that we are missing an opportunity to exercise our faith and become stronger if we don't seek the Lord, find out his will, and fight for that. The reality is, so many Christians, you know, we're legends in our own minds about what we can do, thinking that we are stronger than we actually are because we heard a sermon about something. We even said amen. I must be strong. No, it's not until you actually engage in the conflict, the battle. Paul tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Now, I was only a wrestler for 2 years in seventh and eighth grade. For whatever it's worth, Eudora schools at that time, middle school, they only offered four sports. That was all the opportunity you had back in the day. And it was only me and two other guys. Three of us were the only guys in our school who lettered in all four available sports, football, basketball, track, and wrestling. I'll tell you something about wrestling. Wrestling takes it out of you. When you engage, your entire body is tense and you are putting everything your entire body has. It is not a wimpy sport. There's always this thing between the mat rats and the basketball players. At ninth grade, I switched to basketball. But, you know, I promise you, basketball, even running wind sprints, was nothing like wrestling. You run all day, but gee whiz. If you let up for a moment, you were pinned. You hear, boom, that's it. You're out, you're done. The referee slams his hand on the mat. So anyway, when we don't capitalize on opportunities to exercise by praying for others, let me tell you what will happen. We may find, hear me, if we don't make the most of our opportunities to exercise when we have these opportunities come our way, we may find that we don't have the strength needed to fight and win in our own battles. Oh, I'm sorry to hear you going for that. Yeah, I'll pray for you, Lord. Help them, whatever. And glad it's not me. And then when it is you, you think that you're just all of a sudden going to be super strong. Based on what? You're going to have the strength, the endurance to last the entire battle until it's over. Why do you think this? Why would any reasonable person think that they're going to have strength? My wife and I were driving back from the church one of these nights. We saw this lady out running. I just looked over my eyes and said, gosh, I remember when I used to be able to do that. I can jog a little, but run? Need to get on that elliptical a little more. Notice what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. We're going to read it slowly. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, when your life is going good and there's no, you know, smooth sailing, no obstacles in your life at present, if in the land of peace in which you've trusted, you know, praying just a little prayers here and there, if that has exhausted you and depleted your strength, then how will you do in the floodplains of Jordan? In other words, what do you do when your life's going to get complicated and there are thickets and there are things that not only the enemy, but you've got obstacles to maneuver around? fighting in difficult terrain is worse, obviously, than fighting in a smooth plain, because you know your footing. We must take advantage of our opportunities to exercise our faith disciplines to become strong. You don't become strong without exercise. You see, often our stance in prayer and fighting a battle in somebody else's... You need to hear me on this. When opportunities come, when somebody says, hey, I've got this going on, and you think, oh, I should pray for them. So you say, oh, I'll pray for you. Let me just encourage you, get it started if it is possible. In that moment, pray a short, brief prayer for them right then. Do it now. If it's not, if you're walking away, begin your praying for them then. Because you know what? You're no different than me. Sometimes you say that and you have the sincerest intents, but you walk away, then somebody else comes up to you, talks to somebody else, and by the time you're gone from that room, you've already forgotten. You need the Lord's help to bring it back to you later. But listen. Let me get this exactly the way I wrote it. Often our stance in prayer and fighting a battle in somebody else's behalf is just as much about and for you as it is them. It's about your opportunity, another chance to exercise. Notice what it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults. We're reading the Amplified. It's going to take a little bit, all right? Confess your faults. Excuse me, I'm not reading, I'm quoting from another translation. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another. Why? That you praying for other people is going to benefit you. Praying for other people, there's a benefit in that for you. James is just talking about one little slice, one little angle of that. Pray for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Tell you what, there's some times that you can pray, and there are times that you pray. You know what I mean? Oh, come on. You know what? There's times that you pray, your heart, your spirit's really in it. And there's other times, okay, Lord bless this food, and then let's eat. And, you know, you're just moving along. The earnest, heartfelt, continued requires endurance. Prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. In other words, consider that just maybe God calls you to pray, brings you an opportunity to pray for somebody else, to fight for someone else, because you need it. All right, I got a flabby son or daughter here. Send them an opportunity so they'll exercise and become a little stronger. You need it for your strengthening. Here's where we have to understand the nuance of what Scripture is teaching us here. God sends His opportunity so that we will engage the enemy in behalf of somebody else, so that we will stand, that we will lift up and hold up a brother or sister in prayer, that we're not going to give up until this thing's done. And yes, it's going to require some strength. It's going to require some patience and endurance and to continue to the end of the battle. But God says this is going to happen so that, because you need this. And listen, even if you do not receive the exact outcome that you've been praying for, your time has not been wasted. See, it's this little change of thinking will totally change your prayer life. Because you realize, yes, my attention is on them, for them. I'm going to uphold them. I'm going to stand. I'm going to lock hands together with them, and I'm going to stand with them all the way through this. And then, you know, if they're sick and they pass away, you know, they don't get the outcome, whatever it is that they, you know, simply, that's what the enemy says. See, you shouldn't even be praying because it's a potluck. You know, you may get it, you may not. You know what? Sometimes God asks you to pray for somebody to stand, even though He knows He's going to take them home. But it's an opportunity for you and me to continue to pray and fight for them so that we become stronger. Because the Lord knows there's battles coming up that you're going to need this strength. Don't become discouraged in prayer. Well, how did Jesus say it? He told a story. He says He told this story so that men would always pray and not faint, not give up. We need to take advantage of our opportunities. Be wise. When I stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, if the Lord should say to me, hey, why did you pray and fight for them when it was my will to do something else to bring them home? You know what? I'm willing to be corrected for that. Let me tell you what I do not want to hear the Lord say. What would be much harder to hear is, Phil, why didn't you pray and fight for them even though I brought them home? You neglected many opportunities to grow and become strong, and this is why you were too weak to win many of your own battles. Can you say, ouch, that would sting? Do you understand? Again, I quoted the verse from Paul, fight the good fight of faith. We are called to fight. Why? Haven't you read what Paul wrote to Timothy? We are soldiers. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. Right? Come on, any strong amen. You realize that's what Scripture says about you and me? We're soldiers. What do soldiers do? They fight. We are soldiers while we're here. We are to be trained, to be strategic, to be strong in battle, to fight. We're soldiers. That's who we are. That's what we do. We fight. So this business of just saying, oh, yeah, I don't need to fight. I mean, if it's the Lord's will, okay, Lord, you make it happen if it's your will. I'll just sit here and continue what reruns of Seinfeld and eat bonbons, you know. That's living foolishly. The Scriptures are filled with admonitions and even commands to stand and fight for those who need help. So we must become strong and grow in endurance to fight and become stronger. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, be alert, stand firm in the faith, be brave, be or become strong. Do all your work in love. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a wise life, a life worthy of the Lord, and you may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance, able to keep going and not quit, not give up, not peter out, and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses here that you may have never read, seen like this before, because sometimes we just read and we read too fast. We just, oh, okay, what is that? But sometimes you need to slow down. Can I be honest with you? This is why I quit after I can't tell you how many years. Probably, I don't know, 15 plus years of reading the Bible through in a year. Different translation every year. I've stopped reading the Bible through in a year. Now, this is just me. You do what God tells you to do. It's a good thing to read the Bible through in a year. Okay? You should do that at least once. Okay? But I found out, I'm telling you, I'm speaking from my heart today. Okay? And it's going to get more heartish here in a little bit. This is just me, because I found that I was reading too fast. I was reading to get through it, not reading to hear it, what God is speaking to me out of the text. And there's a big difference, because I would rather read two verses and hear God speak. Can I tell you why? Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' words, man shall not live by bread alone, but people, man will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I need to hear God speak to me out of His word more than I just need, oh, got it done, Lord, another translation, put it on the shelf, look at me go. It's got to produce life. Even Paul the Apostle Paul, as strong as he was, could become stronger because he found himself. You understand the battles that he fought and the battles that you and I face are probably at a different level. You know, it's like running around the track with your neighbors and racing and competing in the Olympics. It's just a different level, okay, of strength, of endurance, and skill, so forth. But even the Apostle Paul found himself lacking strength to fight battles. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. Paul says, I didn't have strength for this. This was such a heavy attack. Beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. This battle is going to kill me. I don't think I'm going to survive this battle. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Okay, wait a minute. Let's stop and think. Even if I die, God raises the dead. And if my course is not over yet, he'll raise me back to life and I'll go at it again. If I go to be the Lord, I win. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Now notice verse 11 carefully. You also must help us. How, Paul? How can we help you? By prayer. Stand with us. Fight with us in prayer. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul also said in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle. How, Paul? By praying to God for me. Okay, I put Colossians 4 in your notes. I wrote out all the scriptures for you. I'm going to skip those now because I'm running out of time and we need to move along here. You know, more and more, especially in these days that we live in today, COVID's still a thing and beyond that. But we can find ourselves without strength. And our lack of strength can come due to our sorrows, our sadness, because of grief. Grief will take a toll on you, emotionally, physically. We see this even in Jesus' own disciples. He's just had the Last Supper with them, and then he's gone, come out to the garden to pray. And this is what he says in Luke chapter 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now again, this is not a prayer petition. This is a prayer of consecration. It would be like you praying, Lord, if you want me to move to South America to be a missionary and live in a mud hut and eat bugs the rest of my life, I guess I'll do it, Lord. I mean, if there's anything else, Lord, you got, okay, not my will, but yours be done. It's a prayer of consecration. I'll do what you, it's not a prayer petition where we have the promises of God. That God's will is to heal people. Then it says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. And he being in agony prayed earnestly more. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It's pretty intense. When he rose up from prayer, notice this. He had come to his disciples. He found them sleeping from sorrow. They are sorrowful because Jesus has told them, this is it. This is our last night together. And in about 10 minutes from this point, Judas is going to show up with a bunch of people from the religious leaders, and they're going to take Jesus away. And then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. At Mark's gospel, as he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You've got to do something about your flesh. As we talked about earlier, we wait to engage the enemy until after every little thing we can think up. Oh, I forgot to carry out the trash. All the things we expend ourselves. We never allow time when we have even physical strength, because when you engage the enemy in battle, it is a spirit, soul, and body endeavor. Some of you know this, some of you may not. My youngest brother, Mark, he pastors a church in Osage, Oklahoma, and he's been in the hospital now on a ventilator for a couple of weeks. with COVID. And I consider young. He's 51. Depends on your perspective. And it's been an up and down battle. You know, Friday night late, the hospital contacts my brother right under me. He's a doctor in Tulsa, and reports to him because then he can interpret for the rest of us. So the text came in. This is Mark's, and Mark had an irregular heart rhythm. They had a shocking back to get that going again, and just all kinds of things that are going on. And this is about 10:30 at night, and I knew I had to pray more than just pray a prayer. So I began praying upstairs, and then I took it downstairs, and for, I don't know, at least 45 minutes to an hour. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just prayer language, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Scripture says when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit then helps you to pray. He gives you prayer language for that purpose. For 45 minutes to an hour, just begin to pray. And at some point, I stopped. Maybe before I should have. I don't know. I felt something of a beginning of a release to it, so it's going to be okay. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. This is going to be okay. Because now, between the things, other things that happened, and explaining things and talking to other people, it was midnight, and, you know, I went to bed. I said, Lord, I can only just rest in you now. Let me tell you what happened, though, a week before that when was something going on, because I want you to understand the dynamic of this. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I began to pray during another, when one of his ups and downs, his first major down. I was alone in the house, and I was tearing up, just praying, Lord, you know, it's not a good time for Mark to die. When is a good time? You know, it's not. So I began to pray, but I found myself, I just sit down at the piano, I began to play and just begin to sing and worship the Lord. One of the songs I frequently play is an old song we used to sing here. I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. Jesus, I'm so in love with you. For everything you are, for everything you do, Lord, I'm so in love with you. You just begin to sing that over and over again. Because I'm telling you, praise is a weapon. Later that evening, we got the report. Mark had turned, and he was back as stable as you can be for being in ICU. Oh, we're running out of time. Okay, here's what I want us to do. I want you to take some time. This is the Lord's house. My house should be called a house of prayer. I'm going to invite you to take our last 7 minutes here and pray. Because I know that there's people on your heart. The Lord has put people on your heart over the last week or so. People that you know you need to pray for. And it's not that you haven't prayed for them, but you need to endurance. You need to continue to bring them before the Lord. Hold them up. You may be saying, well, no, hey, my life's good. Everybody in my life's good. Okay, well, some of the verses, you have to look closely at the beginning of the verse of reference. I put a little asterisk at. There's like two or three of them in your notes there at the beginning. You have to look hard to see it. It's tiny. But in those verses, begin to pray those things for yourself and for your loved one, that you would be strengthened in the inner man with spiritual wisdom and might, and that people that you would know the will of the Lord. Just there's different things in there. You can pray those things, but you can spread out. You can kneel where you're at. If that's not physically a thing, then just sit there. If you're like me, you pray. Most of my praying, I'm a pacer. I move around. You can get up and move around, but I'm going to ask you to right now, those people that God has put on your heart to pray for this morning, Von Hyke called me. If you've got nothing else, write his name down. He didn't tell me not to say, but he's not feeling well this morning, and he had a coworker test positive for COVID. He doesn't think he has it because he's not having it. He's just not feeling. So let's pray for Von. Mom doesn't need COVID. Okay? So there, you have something. So let's just take some time now and pray. As you will, however you want to. Let's pray.